Okay. Thank you.
Okay. It's 5:23. I'd like to call to order the April 17th meeting of the City of Chula Vista's Board of Ethics. This is a regular meeting. We'll begin with the roll call.
Rosar Robles, present.
Edgar Guerrero, present.
Simon Sova, Deputy City Attorney, staff, present.
Fernando Kish, present.
Victor S. Gibb, present.
Anthony Jameson, present.
And for the record, I have Mr. Aguayo as well assisting us.
Thank you very much. No public comments, I assume. We'll move on to action items. Number one, the approval of the January 13th, 2019 minutes.
I move to approve the minutes of January 16, 2019.
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes as presented for the January 13th meeting. All those in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
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 Any in opposition? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion carries. Item number two, discussion on the selection of attorneys to serve as campaign contribution ordinance enforcement authority panel members for the 2020 election cycle.
So I'm going to start, in, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm going to start sending out solicitations to, like we did last time, to the Bar Association and different groups to get members to get lawyers to apply, and then also send out letters to the current panel if they'd like to be reconsidered as well. The current panel did stay busy. There were, I want to say, three complaints filed. They did adjudicate those, and fines were paid on some of them. The process worked in terms of one person getting it for a probable cause determination, then going to the next attorney for a resolution. So it worked in that regard. I think one of the things that came up in the process is the panel members would like a little bit more assistance from our office. We're very limited in what we can provide because we're not
from the city attorney's office.
Mm-hmm. We did give general information in terms of process, but nothing substantive in terms of what a decision should be. And procedural question would be, when we get the complaint, who do we send a letter to? Things like that. So I to have uniformity, we'll probably go back and make some fixes, whether it's an internal policy that they can all share and use, or going back and amending the code to address just kind of logistical things. Because there hadn't been any complaints filed. I want to say in the 10 years I've been here, almost 10 years I've been here at City Attorney's Office, this was the first group. I think it's a function of districting, because now it's a smaller group in terms of who's active in campaigning and donations and things like that. I think I said that at the start, with districting, we'd expect to see more complaints, and mm-hmm. that's what we saw.
So those complaints would not involve the Board of Ethics?
No, they do not. By the statute, the special counsel that's assigned, the enforcement authority, they handle it completely. None of the complaints were found to be willful, so there was no criminal prosecution. They were all found to be accidental, negligent, kind of not knowing enough to how R works, and it is a complex process because they have to go through our ordinance as well as state FPPC regulations on campaigning. So it's a lot of work, we'll get that process started this month, and hopefully start interviews towards the end of the month or the start of May.
Two things. So the first, with respect to the types of resources perhaps that they might be looking to the city attorney's office, would any types of standard operating procedures or any type of guide, would that be assistive, or is that too structured?
I think they need a guide, mm-hmm. just at least to some direction on just basic issues, when the Board of Ethics, when it handles its complaints, we have our procedures in terms of the complaint comes in, it directs who writes a letter and lets them know, it has a disposition letter, things like that. And there isn't that kind of structure in that, on that side. So it's not substantive, it's just procedural.
Mm-hmm. And then secondly, so sort of to Victor's point, would it be Would it be appropriate for us to receive the board to receive a report of those issues that are being presented to the authority? I mean, even if it's just for edification, these are the types of reports that we've gotten. Here's kind of what happened, or would that be too cumbersome? And perhaps that's out of order.
No, that's your decision. If you want to receive a report or play a greater role, there's that possibility. But I think the emphasis is to keep the prosecuting decisions and the body which they would go forward with, meaning going to Superior Court, it should remain the same. But there's a role in terms of reporting out to you folks in terms of the number of cases, the types of issues that came up, and the resolution, because there isn't really a repository of where somebody can go and look as to what's there. You know, it's kind of whoever contacts the city clerk to provide information. So we can make it a little bit more transparent in that regard. And the transparency does two things. One, it lets people know what people are doing, and then it holds the city accountable to make sure that we're following our process in that regard.
Yeah.
So
that spreads something forward.
Down the line.
When they make a complaint, do they use our forms?
No, there's a different process for that.
Different, okay.
Yeah. Really, I think what I remember in terms of what I saw was it's just a narrative description of somebody saying, I complained, this is what I allege they did. Okay. But it's not the same. And it's different from what we, yeah.
Is that complaint digital or in writing, a written complaint? Or both? Do we know?
The ones I saw, they didn't look like ours, and they didn't look like an autofill PDF. They wrote, from what I remember, was a narrative. Mm-hmm. Again, and the only reason I saw it was because, you know, it comes and then I give it to the clerk, and it moves forward.
Okay.
So we'll be working on the election cycle. And then just so everybody knows, I'm sure everybody knows, but the 2020 election cycle refers to the March election. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, the primary.
And so for the next panel or for the process, are we timely in terms of setting that up? And
yeah, we're doing okay. We'll be on time.
Okay. Any additional questions for Simone with respect to the authority panel? Okay. Anything else, Simone, on that?
No, not on item number two.
Okay. Moving on to item number three, an update of the selection of applicants to fill the vacancies on the Board of Ethics.
I sent out an email today, so I don't know if it's timely or not, but I emailed Fernando and then the representative from the Charter Review Commission to try to set up the initial steps to start interviewing. I think I asked for the week of the 8th, but the CRC person is unavailable that week. So I'm proposing the following week, potentially May 15th and 16th, for a meeting. The process will really follow what you folks do for the selection of the campaign contribution enforcement authority. So my agenda mimics the agenda that we've used on that. So the first part of the first meeting would be the agenda discusses, here's the process we're going to follow doing the interviews of who's going to, whether it's going to be live or over the phone in case some people are unable to physically come down. Other boards and commissions, and when council does interviews, does it via phone.
Well, you would do interviews over the phone.
It's a potential. It's going to be in the discretion of the panel if that's how they want to do it.
Okay.
How long it'd be, things like that. And then the next component is going through the packages and kind of identifying who you want to interview. Again, the board has the discretion, or the panel has the discretion, of interviewing everybody, picking from that from the resumes and applications who they'd like to interview. You know, that's a function of their discretion. It's kind of like you folks. If you have like 10 people to interview and we could squeeze them all in one day, then we'll do all 10. If we have 200 applicants, sure, you folks might want to whittle it down. So you have that discretion.
Do we know how many we have so far?
The ones, what I've seen, it looks like we have at least 10 applicants.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a good pool.
For three positions.
And the dates that you proposed in your email, and forgive me, I did see the email, but I wasn't sitting in my office at that point, so I didn't get a chance to check my calendar. But the plan is to have them all take place in 1 day or 2 days?
That's the other part of the discussion. So our first meeting, potentially on the 15th, 16th, is just to kind of organize what you want to do, how many you want to interview, when you want to do the interviews.
Oh, okay.
And then once you folks decide you want to interview 5 of them, we could do it in 1 evening, or we could do 2 or 3.
Okay.
So there's flexibility there, but it's all going to be laid out in that first meeting. And of course, it's my position advice that it is a Brown Act committee, because it was established by council of a panel, even though it's 2. And when the legislative body establishes a panel, it's subject to the Brown Act. So that's why I have an agenda. And so we'll do everything out in the open. I was going to CC when I was talking to the other attorney or the other chair. I was going to CC to get both of you online to talk about dates. But I'm like, I better keep them separate. So that way there's no serial meeting. Yeah. So hopefully we'll get that done. The goal is I know you're retiring in June. And so hopefully to be done by that time frame. That way, you're rest assured we have capable people replacing you and others, although it would be very hard to replace you.
It gives me an excuse, so the time continues. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so that's all I have on that. So hopefully we'll get something in mid-May. Do the interviews towards the end of May, start of June, and then be done, and hit council before they hit their summer break, or the shortened council meetings during the summer.
Okay. Anything else for item 3, either from the commission or from you, Simone, on item number 3?
I have nothing else on that.
Okay. On to other business, staff comments.
I just want to bring up, I know it's 2 items that we had there, and theoretically we didn't have to meet, but I wanted to like I said, commit to you folks that when we have meetings and we cancel a whole bunch during a quarter, to at least have one to come back and keep you guys what's going on. So from April to August, I'm sure we'll have meetings, but if we don't count one in August or towards the end of the quarter, that way you folks are in the loop in terms of what we're doing. If you have any issues you'd like to bring up, there's always that forum. And the other component is, as you know, if there's something you folks want to bring up that I haven't put on the agenda or the chair hasn't put on the agenda, to let either of us know, and we can always put things on the agenda as needed down the line. So that's the goal. The other thing I want to report on is, I know it's been an incredibly long time, but we're still working on the lobbyist registration ordinance. That part's kind of almost done, but with that, we want to have an ex parte communications policy for council. So what we're doing, the reason we want both is, one side covers who's talking to council, but the other side is what happens, what council does when they talk to somebody. And so that way it's a complete process. And so I have a draft. There's more edits to be made to that, and then we'll go from there. But it isn't dead, and everybody's still, you know, we want to get it done, but it's a function of caseload and workload and coming up with good language on that. And then before, obviously, we're going to come back with both items to you folks to get additional input as we go along.
So 2 separate items. So the lobby. And then the ex parte. Do you think that one might impact the other in terms of whether or not one gets approved? I think we might get a little more pushback on the ex parte one, which is why I'm asking.
I think one of the comments that we had was from the lobbyist folks, the people who'd be impacted, the different groups we met with, was, well, what about council? How are they going to be held accountable for this? And so I think it'll work better. And the ex parte policy isn't just unique to lobbying efforts. The big thing in the ex parte policy is ex parte communications when we have a hearing that's quasi judicial. So if somebody gets a permit, they go to planning commission and it gets approved or denied, and they appeal it to council. It's setting forth rules of what council can do, or even the planning commission can do, in terms of communicating with the applicants. Because and same thing for you folks. When you discuss legislation and process of things that we're doing, people can have opinions, they can disagree, they can agree, they can come up with ideas, they can talk to people about it. You could do your own research at home and come to a meeting and discuss it, things like that. Because that's legislation. But when it's a hearing for some right, whether it's one of our hearings, it's generally inappropriate, I think, for the decision makers to be talking to the parties that are involved and get all this information about it, and they start forming an opinion, and that does a couple of things. If one of the individuals talks to somebody and gets all this information and votes, it denies the others the opportunity to hear that information and make a decision and question it. And then also, fundamentally, due process wise, if I'm an applicant and I don't talk with anybody because I think I'm not supposed to, because it's an ex parte communication, but the other side doesn't, it puts me at a disadvantage in terms of they get to know stuff that I don't have a chance to rebut or explain or provide information on. So it's one-sided. It's the way I describe it is, you're in court and you see the judge talking with the other side and you don't know what they're saying. They're laughing, and next thing you come back and the judge denies your motion, and you're going, did they reach a deal? So that's why it needs to be done, and doing it in conjunction, I think is beneficial.
Are there other cities that have sort of a precedent program or policy in place?
They have ex parte communication policies. Ours is a little bit different, in that I think ours covers more. The ones I've seen really focus on limited items. Ours is for council. Mm-hmm. I don't recall seeing one for council. I saw for boards and commissions. And that's frequently because board and commissions are involved a lot more in appeals process. You folks hear appeals, the complaints, that's a quasi-judicial matter. If one person complained against another person, you folks wouldn't be talking to one over the other. You'd be listening to everything here. And same thing, there's like planning commission, civil service commission. We have a safety commission that talks about stop signs and things like that. And there's some appeals that go there. Board of Appeal Advisors for some building code violations. So there's a lot more in boards and commissions. For city council, really, it's just planning commission appeals, maybe some executive level, higher level, higher employee in terms of position appeals for discipline that might go to them,
It's important right now because the Bayfront project is going to be coming on, and the more transparency we have with that, the better it is.
Yeah, and that was the goal, is to make sure that as the city engages in these type of activities, both it's important to know the lobbyists that are involved and decisions that are made. That's it. Thank you.
Sure.
You have a timeline, perhaps, on?
I think we have a couple of things that Glenn and I spoke about before we get back on track on this.
Got it.
But I don't know a time frame.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing from the chair, other than it's really good to see all of you. So appreciate you guys being here this evening. Makes for a great meeting. So thanks. Cool. Item number 3, commissioners and board members, comments?
My only comment was that I appreciated your staff reminding me about the FPC filing and all my crazy schedules. I had totally forgotten. It was a timely reminder. I was able to get it done. So right. Just wanted to thank your staff.
I neglected to ask this question on action item number 3, but do the applicants for the Board of Ethics, do they have to be Chula Vista residents?
I believe so. Yeah, I think that's generally a requirement of all our boards and commissions that they be residents. There's some exceptions, but I don't recall what they are.
Okay, then I think I have to talk about my situation since I just recently moved, sold my home in Chula Vista, but I'm in escrow to buy a house in Bonita. Does that impact my ability to serve on the Board of Ethics?
It depends. It would. But I will say in terms of Bonita, mm-hmm. Parts of Bonita are in fact Chula Vista.
Yeah, and I don't know how Bonita is, parts are
incorporated.
So
incorporated.
Yeah, because generally what I think is like, I'm trying to figure out the street names. You know where the fire department is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Part of the residences where the fire department on the hill are Chula Vista. Part of where the Vaughn's Mall in that area, part of it's Chula Vista. I think what isn't is the other side of the street near the golf course, but I could be wrong. If you give us your the proposed address, we can confirm it.
Okay.
Email it to you. We'll do that.
All right. Sounds good. I'll do that.
Yeah, but you extend the escrow at least 45 days so we can do the...
Exactly. You know, ask them to slow the process all right. Just a bit.
Yeah, so. Okay.
No other questions.
Thank you. For me.
Anything else under item 3? I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I just do have one question.
Sure.
I work in a position of high security right now, and I have to ask, they asked me today to make sure any volunteer work I do is just with American citizens. Everybody's a citizen, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just have to ask, because he's a volunteer. All right, that's all I have to ask. Sorry.
Motion for adjournment?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I second the motion.
Okay. We
Who
shall
seconded? Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Who seconded?
We all
did. There was
I'll do it. We all did at the same time.
Okay.
The April 17th meeting is adjourned at 5:45.
Cool. Great. Thank you.